when it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Got my coffee here in a good mug, and it's good and hot and fresh, and we want to welcome you to October. It is October 1st, 2022. Time just marches on. And I guess we should be thankful for that. It won't always be that way, but it is now. And so we thank you out there for joining us and this Saturday morning. And we've got a couple of the members on. Zach, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Tim, good morning to you from Nebraska there. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
And again, Remnant, we say good morning to you. We thank you for joining us, and we've got a little bit of everything. There's a few things going on. I think we'll probably get them covered. Hope to. Lots going on here in the nation, and we're in the fall, and that's a good thing. But we're going to open up with prayer first. I hope that that is a reminder to you, Remnant, to do that very thing. To be in prayer. When we're spread across the country, and one of our states is just ruined by a storm, and others are getting hammered. Well, we might not be able to do anything in the physical, but we can pray, and that is pleasing to God. And when our government's in a mess, and the leaders are sure doing their best to destroy this land that we love. We can pray, and it really is not. Well, there's nothing else we can do. It's enough. It is. Or if nothing else, it's a good start. How about that? And so we do encourage you to do that thing, to give thanks where thanks are due, and to give praise where praise is due. And that is certainly to our God and Father. Well, Heavenly Father, we do. We praise you. We thank you for this day, for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, to fellowship with Christian men and with the brethren all across this land, Lord, hopefully to encourage them to love and good deeds and to remind them that your kingdom stands, that you do not change, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what a great foundation, Lord. What a great rock to build our house on. And we thank you for that. We do pray for, Lord, our brethren that are cleaning up down in Florida and in the southeast as this storm has rolled through. And Lord, we pray for our brethren on the southern borders that are continuing to have their land, our land, invaded. And we pray for them, for your protection to be upon them. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us, to be with each and every one of us this morning, that, Lord, we would have a sweet fellowship with one another and with you, and that it would be a blessing and an encouragement to your people. We thank you for the time that you give us, Lord, and the times that you have prepared us for this day. Guide and direct us, and Lord, we pray that all that we think, say, and do would glorify you. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I'll throw it out there. I've got about three stacks here of stuff I can start on or get back to, circle back around to, as we used to hear some. But I'll sure throw it out if somebody's got something urgent or just that is on their mind they want to start with this morning.
Well, I'll just say, I guess I'll get started. I've been here, each and every one of us, we have our own little group of people that we talk to. And, you know, we all know what's going on in our community. And, you know, the things, like, you can sit there and watch the national news and the world news, and, you know, you can get all, you know, down about what's happening. And, you know, I agree, like, the stuff that's going on, you know, overseas and all that, all those horrible things and the stuff that's going on down in Florida, you know, I'm up in the North Country, so, you know, I don't have to deal with that type of situation. But, you know, last night I was sitting there, I was talking with one of my buddies, and he was, I wouldn't call him a Christian guy, I would call him an Israelite. He knows right from wrong, but he was telling me, he goes, you know, he says, I have to disengage from all the noise in the news media, because I'll get lost in it. And he goes, the only thing I can do is work on my farm, do my job, provide for my family, and, you know, he's like, that's what I can do, and be a good neighbor. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking about it, and I'm like, and I thought, you know, he's right. Each and every one of us can control what we do, and each and every one of us can make the right decisions and, you know, push towards being self-sufficient, push towards doing business with your neighbor, investing into your community, and don't give your money to some, you know, Chinese made clothing and stuff like that, you know, because those people over there, they don't care about their workers. You know, I'm not going to fund that, you know, or I'm going to do my best to not fund that. And, you know, we really should be pushing really even harder today than even last week to support your neighbor, to learn to be self-sufficient, because the things that you do see on the news and the potential of things that could be coming down the pipeline, you're really going to, if you practice now, and it might be too late, if you practice now, then you'll be really glad maybe next year or in a couple years. because there's things going on, like with the fertilizer industry and stuff like that. Like, I don't think if we think things are crazy now politically, I think wait until next year. I think it's going to be even crazier. And it's all by design by, you know, the people that are in power right now. But, you know, I just would like to say, learn to take care of yourself. Learn to be self-sufficient for your family. So that way, you know, you never know. You might need to help your neighbor because things might be getting rough. I don't know if you guys have been watching the stock market, but it's slowly going down, down, down. And I seen this one thing on the news. They're like, oh, well, that's they redefined what a recession is. Like, you know, the supply chains and stuff they're very constricted. So, you know, learn to be self-sufficient and know your neighbors, you know. Be a good witness to your neighbors and know them so that way you know who you can trust and who you can't trust. Because, like, one of the things that COVID has brought out that I've noticed with the lockdowns and everything, people's politics have come out. And, like, the one thing is, like, it's identified which side people are truly on. And, you know, that's a good thing, and it's a bad thing. I mean, it's sad in a lot of ways, but... You know, we do live in America, and we still do have a lot of opportunity, and we still have a lot of control over what happens in our lives. And I just think, you know, take that responsibility and take that control and do the right things and make the right moves and think things out. Does any of that make any sense?
I think so. I think it makes perfect sense.
I think it's a mouthful, and I think it's you know, there's a lot of good thinking there. I mean, as far as it's interesting that you say that, because I was thinking about the stock market actually over the last couple of days. I've been watching that go down, and of course, you know, that's the big thing in the news. The only thing that matters is in the news is the stock market profiteers. You know, I mean, it's all, oh, well, you know, I mean, the cattle market can be totally in the toilet, or the farming market can be totally in the toilet. You know, and not be making any money at all. And that doesn't matter. You know, that's not that, whatever, you know, we'll throw some money at it, or we'll, you know, it'll take care of it. It'll come out. We have a little subsidy or something, but, boy, you let the stock market, you know, teeter a little bit, and oh my goodness, all of the hawks from all over the country come out on that. I mean, well, we've got to do something. And I was sitting there thinking about it, and I was like, you know, in a manner of speaking, that is the stock market's kind of a definition of socialistic, communistic antichrist. I mean, they share risk among themselves as a god. The only thing they're interested in is profiteering, and it doesn't matter who gets hurt. They go in and take companies that are profitable and dismember them for the profiteering and leave people without work and destroy communities and everything else. And God's way is individualism, or, you know, privateering. He sets up his people. We cooperate with each other for the benefit of all, you know. And there's this defined responsibility for the individual that we call it stewardship. You know, that says, "Hey, I have a duty to my neighbors, to my God, and to my family to make sure that this is passed on and that this is viable." And we got to take care of this land because, you know, someday my great grandchildren will be on it, you know, and they don't care about that, you know. I mean, it's just, and whenever anything happens, there's never any consequences for those stock market driven publicly traded companies. You know, they get a slap on the wrist, or one of the things that always, whenever they do anything wrong or they get in trouble with the government, one of the things that interests me is that they agree to their fine. You know, they it's a cost of business negotiation. You know, like, how much are you going to pay to keep on doing stuff? Well, we'll give you, you know, $12 million, or we'll give you, yeah, okay. And you know, if you're an individual, though, there's no such thought process for you. You're just thrown under the bus, and it backs up and runs over you a couple more times. You know, I mean, it's
amen.
And I think that it's a case of corrected vision when you begin to understand those things that what they're talking about there. Just and I've always thought it was interesting too that we have the stock market, which is like the New York Stock Exchange, and we were talking about, for example, the farms and the actual wealth producers and that's another part of that definition too, by the way, real wealth producers and just money producers. The money producers are in the New York Stock Exchange. The real wealth producers are more like the Chicago Board of Trade thing. You know, I mean, they make the orange juice, they make the flour, they make the oil and the steel and all of those goods that actually are real things that we build with. But they can't even play in the same, you know what I mean? They can't play on the same field. They got no. You guys go over there. So I think there's quite a difference, isn't there, between what we see there. So
yeah, Tim, I would agree. I would rather have the product. I mean, you lightly touched on it a little bit. You know, I mean, I sit there and I listen to everybody, and I hear them say, like, everything's going in the toilet, you know. But then on the other hand, like, even, like, out of the same time out of their mouth, they'll sit there and, like, this one guy I was talking to last night, he's got, I don't know, he's probably got a dozen cows with calves, you know, nothing big. But, you know, he was saying, well, he's trying to get a couple of his steers processed, and he's looking like they're not even going to touch them until February. I mean, if that's not an opportunity, like, to start a business and to, when everything's going down, you know, why isn't somebody stepping in and starting that type of business? They would be busy until February. At least that's the way it is around here, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I don't think people, like, you know, people get so trained on bad news, bad news, bad news, you know. Well, if everything's going down and people are having 3-4 months out to get stuff done, someone should step in. They could make a killing, you know. They could put their labor in that and do well. And yeah. I don't know. I would try to see the opportunity in, you know, in a bad situation. Like, that's just the way I'm wired.
Oh, absolutely, Zach, it is. And fortunately, there are a few that see that, and there are a few that are doing that. You know, we'd mentioned it before. Couple hours between us and you, I guess, Tim, up there towards Torrington, you know, towards the corner of Nebraska from here, a guy opened up people got together and opened up and did a meat processing plant, you know, brand new, state of the art, built it up. It just within the last 2 years, and you see that, you know, again, they don't report it on the stock market. They don't, CNN doesn't talk about it, but you see it here and there. You know, these new meat processing plants that have popped up. I did see in the news they're talking about a big processing plant coming in over here at Cheyenne, that would be a pretty big one. not a small one, but and you know, here locally we have we basically have two. We have the butcher shop in town that have been there 30 years. The other butcher places over the years have come and gone. There's another new one that's opened up again just a couple years ago, about 3 years ago, and they are thriving. They'll process. They also have retail meat, you know, for sale, and as both places do. So, and so that has been a very, like you mentioned, Zach, a very lucrative business for, you know, both of the local butcher shops. The local, you know, they'll slaughter and process, and then they have it for sale as well, and you know, they employ people, they pay well, the money that you spend there stays in the community, and I think that's a big thing. Again, like you were talking about, deal with your neighbors, know your neighbors. That doesn't mean just the guy that lives next door to you, but, you know, these local businesses, what a difference that makes. You're going to spend about the same amount of money. You might spend a little bit more, but the money stays in your community as opposed to going to the stock market to help Walmart stocks inch up a little bit or not. And it just is. What a difference it makes. And I think that's one of the reasons it keeps coming back up, because, you know, we've talked about this before. We've tried to encourage you, the remnant, along these lines, because that's what it is. That's part of getting back to the basics. It's part of loving your neighbor and dealing with them, spending your money with your neighbor and his or her business that lives in the community, that relies on that to make their living, and is able to support the community with jobs, but also with, you know, being a thriving business in the community. You know, it's just what a difference that makes versus just the, you know, we say the mystery meat at Walmart, because that's really what it is. And the money at Walmart, you know, I know so many people go there, and it's just become a part of our lives today in this nation. But you know, that money, it just doesn't support the community like it does down at the local farmer's market or the local grocer, if you have one, or the local meat market, or that type of thing.
Well, and I think that you have your choice. I mean, you know, choose you this day whom you'll serve. I mean, that's the thing. And here's the deal: there's a sequence of events that God has set up or allowed to go on. Now, everything that's going on right now is because God allows it, or it's by His design and His plan and His purpose. They're one and the same. And I think, like Zach said, you have these individuals out there who are seeing that, and we don't need any more multinational or multi fed wide huge companies. What we need are we need some small people around. The problem with those great big behemoths, pick your insert name of business here, it doesn't really matter, is they toe the line. They're willing to, and if they're felled, why, the entire population, it's a focal point, a choke point on the whole thing. And when you have all these, when you have all these individuals across all the places, you have local control, you have local quality, you have, everything works. That's the way God planned it to be. I mean, after Christ's death, when the church was getting too big, and he broke them up and scattered them out all over the place. Why? Because he didn't want a centralized you know, well, you go there, that's where the church is, you know. It was like, no, the church is scattered throughout the world.
Yes.
That guy over there, and it's the same way. My son-in-law's going through the Bible, and he's a newer Christian, and he said, I'm getting these phone calls that are just, well, they warm my heart, but at any rate, he said, you know, it's amazing. He said, pretty much the whole Bible's about things like contracts and laws and the way God wants business done, and it's really kind of interesting, you know. He goes, if you boil it all down, and I said, yeah, it's about how life works under God's way of doing things, and that's how it is. It's not some huge company where you're just another consumer that they don't really care about, because they don't have you. They've got, you know, 50,000 other people to deal with. It's about the fact that, hey, I'm local, and I have, you know, 500 clients or 50 clients or whatever that I deal with, and I want to make sure that I take care of them, because, number one, if I don't, it's going to really hurt to even lose one, you know. And number two is it's my job. And the other thing about that is it gives them no focal point for control, the enemies of God. You know, they just don't, you know, it's like, it's not too hard to herd one critter or two critters, you know. I mean, that's, if you've got 5 or 10 guys, you can do that, no problem. But try and herd 5,000. You know what I mean? It's that all have a mind of their own. It's a lot different scenario. You know, it's not an easy thing. So, because you've always got these go there and those go there, and it's like, you have to, you've got to train them to follow the herd, you know. And you go out and gather up cows or something that have been out in the wild lands for a few years, and you're going to have your work cut out for you.
Yeah, they get wild real quick. They do.
And that's the way God's people are, and that's the way that we work together and we cooperate. But it doesn't mean that you're, you know, faceless, nameless number, you know, group there. And I think that, and God's bringing that back out. You're going to have, people are getting their choice. You know, like Zach said, I got all these cows I need processed, and I can't get them processed for 6 months, and that's not going to work. What are we going to do? We're going to have to do something, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and we're seeing all kinds of things show up, not just that, but all sorts of things like that showing up that we haven't seen for an age, you know. People making decisions, people. And in essence, when you do that and when you step out in faith on that, it's like I said, the guys are planting wheat and everything. We've been dry. They're planting, you know, fall crops. They're drilling their wheat, and they're getting everything ready to go, and they're trying to figure out the cows. But they're praying and planting, you know, because the summer was nothing. So, you know, and it will turn the hearts back to God when we have these kind of situations. And it's happening. I mean, it's happening all over the place.
Oh, it is. It is.
And whether, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen, you know, I think it relates, but, you know, as a result of this Hurricane Ian and the destruction it's brought down in parts of Florida, you know, it really has. It's shown some of the leadership that Florida has, good godly leadership, from the governor to some of the sheriffs that, and I come from down there. I've got family down there, and they all made it through the storm fine. Some of them, no power, no water, but, you know, they're staying with other family members that do have power and water. But the devastation, it does that. It draws his people together. Whether it's, you know, people just going down and helping others, or donating money or whatever it is. And I liked, I don't know if you saw it, but the governor down there, DeSantis, one of the things he said, you know, once the, now they're shifting into cleanup mode, right? Still looking for survivors and people that are trapped and cut off and things like that, because they still have that down there. But he was very adamant, and a couple of sheriffs as well, that he said, to you that might think about looting or taking advantage of the people of Florida that have been hit by this tragedy, we're a Second Amendment state, and you better think twice about it, because we're not going to put up with it. And I thought that was a good stance. And that's how you have to deal, not with your neighbor that truly is your neighbor, but that's how you have to deal with the evil that's in the land. And so many today don't do that. And we see the lawlessness increase, usually in Democrat-run states and cities. Anyway, it is. It's, you know, when we have these catastrophes, when we have these, you know, whether it's like you guys have mentioned today, hey, I can't get my cattle processed, or, you know, if it's towns that are wiped out, the people, and there's a distinction, you know, it's not all the people, but the people that have the law written on their heart, they come together. They do what they can to help out, and that's good to see. And so many, like we've mentioned, so many are turning back to those things, considering their neighbor, considering being responsible, like you talked about, Zach, for their family, not just working a job, but in their schooling, in their education. With the, we've seen that the massive increase in homeschooling the last couple years. You know, the worse it gets in Babylon, the more of the remnant wake up and take that responsibility, and aren't as complacent and you know, doing things just for convenience anymore. I think another example of that is Jason has done a great job finding these gardening books, these you know, Dirt to Soil and the Living Soil Handbook, and just, I think we just added like seven more, and are getting the titles and the description out to you in this last volume 7 Dragon Slayer newsletter. You know, I'm having to make more room on the bookshelves. To with all these books that he's found, and it's a result of, you know, the phone calls that we've had, the requests that we've had here at the ministry on, hey, well, how do you do this? What do you do here? How do you do that? I sent a brother two of my books, my personal books on hoop houses and greenhouses, because he asked for them and had some questions about it, and we're seeing more and more of that here. And not just on the ministry, but, you know, locally, like, I think like we all are, all across the country. I tell you, I've been, one specific I'll mention here is this, brand new one we just got. It's called Will Bonsall. That's the guy's name. He's an old, older, bearded guy, but it's The Essential Guide to Radical Self-Reliant Gardening. Now, if that doesn't catch your eye, it sure caught mine. Radical self-reliant gardening, and he's not one to push, you know, the fertilizers and all that, but to make your own. But an excellent book, and I was reading through it the other night, and I've got a page of notes just on composting, on how he talks about the composting. You know, whether it's soil and hay and shredded leaves and chips and kitchen scraps and, you know, times three or four layers, and pictures, and I've been composting here for years, but it really, you know, it. I mean, these are best practices. These are things that are working. And it's just one example of, you know, of part of helping one another in getting back to being a little more self-reliant, taking, as you said, Zach, more responsibility for your family. And you know, not just in that that 12-hour day job, but in other aspects as well. And it's working with your neighbor. You know, it's asking your neighbor, hey, how'd this work? How'd that work? And we're seeing more and more of it. And I think that's a good thing. You know, we had a neighbor that wanted my wife and girls to babysit her son the other night. She had a thing going on, and you know, she brought a dozen eggs over when she brought her son over, and said, "Hey, we had some extras," and just little things like that. You know, I've long said this country was built on the basis of love your neighbor as yourself, right? Treat others the way you want to be treated. And you don't see that on the stock exchange that you guys were talking about. You don't. It's hooray for me, the hell with you, and every man for himself. And get it while you can. And that's the way of Babylon. That's not the way of God's kingdom. That's not the way of this Christian republic that we were given. This Christian republic that is based on God's word, God's law. Love God, love your neighbors yourself. But we,
you know,
can choose,
I think,
to be that way. Zach?
You know, we're sitting here, we're talking in this setting, and like we are all pretty much, we all have the same train of thought, the same mindset, like, you know, how things are done, you know. And I'm working in this town right now, and, you know, I see a lot of Black Lives Matter flags, a lot of rainbow flags, you know, promoting homosexuality. I see all these guys here that, you know, the blocks in the residential areas that I'm working in now, you know, Trump or any Republican did not win. Like, you know. But all those people, like, though they are poor, and I was talking with this one lady, I wasn't talking, I was more or less listening, and she was all fired up and so happy that there is going to be this student loan forgiveness that the current administration is promoting. And, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm listening to everybody talk, and I'm listening to those people want everything handed to them. And, you know, and really what, you know, what we're talking about is to be self-sufficient. We're going through the, what we're talking about is going through the exercises, doing the training, so that way when things get real, it's no factor, or it's not as much of a factor as it is going to be for those people that want all this stuff, that want food stamps, that want to be able to go to the grocery store, but yet they're going to be empty, or potentially be empty. And they're like, so like, when they're going through, they're going to be going through their pain when it counts. And is what we're saying, we're going through the training and the pain before it does count. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
So like, they want,
absolutely, being prepared.
So like, we're right. Like, I look back at like my 20s, and like me and my two brothers, like, I don't really think anybody understands how much we suffered for survival. Like, we had to learn how to survive. I mean, we were kind of like just thrown out, you know? And it was either, like, I can remember going to go do jobs and thinking, If we do not get paid, we will not make it home. There will be no gas in the truck to get home. Like, that's the level of desperation, like, that I remember. And I sit there, and it's like, I don't know, like, it's almost like I'm almost kind of eager to, like, watch those people that have those kind of politics that have to be able to survive in that. Because, and I'm glad I did it already. And, like, persecution and suffering will literally heal that kind of stuff. You're either going to make it or you're not, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I mean, that's I don't know.
That's super good point, Zach. I mean, epically well put. I mean, I can identify with what you're saying as far as that goes, because, you know, I've seen people come and go, and they're like, well, I'd like to get this business going, but I just don't know. How do you get the security? I mean, how do you get to, you know, I hear these stories, especially more lately, but it's like, and it's like you said, I can remember times when it was like, Lord, if this doesn't pay, I don't know how I'm going to meet my obligations this month. How am I going to pay the electric bill, or how am I going to put fuel in the truck, or pay the people I need to pay, or, you know, I mean, and I can remember, you know, running the shovel or doing the whatever, loading the stuff, and I can remember praying the whole time that, you know, hey, that's a Lord, we really need this. I mean, it's like, and it also motivated you to do a really good job, because you didn't have any problems.
Because like, you had to.
You know,
right.
It's like,
right, because you had
you know,
to. Absolutely.
Don't cut any corners, you know, let's make
that's
sure
right.
that this thing's, we don't want them to have anything. I was my own worst critic, you know. I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, we'll go the extra mile.
Yeah, you look at that.
Well,
what
you guys are
totally
talking
done.
About, yeah, James 1. In James 1, verse 2, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren. Now, you know, Remnant, what do you think about when you say consider it joy? Woohoo! An extra check in the mail, or the health of your family, or, you know, that job well done, like you're talking about, Tim, right? Consider it all joy. You know, be joyful, be exuberant, be thankful. Woohoo! This is, you know, that type of feeling. That's how we're to be when you encounter various trials, right? When you are down to your last few dollars, when you do have to get paid before you can go home to be able to buy gas, when you're working and you're hungry because you haven't, you know, been able to stop and eat on the way down, consider it joy when you encounter various trials, knowing, and this is where so many of those people, like you said, Zach, they don't know. They think that this, you know, loan forgiveness and is going to be great, and if they run out of you know, food or money, the government's just going to give it to them, and it's that entitlement. They don't know this word. They don't know that we are to consider it joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And that's what you're describing, is that training, that discipline that is perfecting, establishing, training. And that's what God does with his people. As a father that loves his children, you do that. You make them endure. You discipline them. You train them and teach them to make them perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And that's the, I think, the times that you're describing, Zach, that, you know, and I'm sure when you can look back on it, those times in your life, that you see that's what has come out of it is that establishing and perfecting and teaching and training and preparing. We are being prepared. We have been being we are being prepared for tomorrow, for what's coming tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, with these these trials and these, you know, practicing in the garden and trying that and having good years and bad years and getting to know our neighbors and like you said, Tim, being our own worst critic. Hey, we need to do a little better there. We need to, you know, put in a little more time into it and those things that's how God works with his people. Isn't it? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, in Luke 10, I'm always reminded of that. And I thought about that back in the day. He said, go your ways, behold, I send, verse 10:3, go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves, carrying either purse or scrip or shoes, and salute no man by the way, and into whatsoever house you enter, forsake these feet of this house. That's 3, 4, and 5. But another part of our preparation that Zach's talking about, is that consummation of faith with your God. Has God brought you through that? Yeah, he has. And I have faith that he'll do it again. And I am also temper that with one of my favorite verses from that story of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, which says, but even if he doesn't, we won't bow down to you, King.
Right.
If God be God, serve him. You know what I mean? If he's done with me, well, then that's it. Fine. If he's not, then he's going to save me, and that's fine too. But he's God. Serve God. So we have those options, and that shouldn't be a detriment to our faith, but instead it should be a continuation and an extension of it, that he's capable, and he adds all these things to us as our faith is increased. So I agree with what Zach says. Like I said, it's epic, because it's like these things have already been practiced. And are there more and other tests to pass? I'm sure there are.
Yes.
But we have faith that we've succeeded in the ones that have been set before us, and we'll pass the ones that are upcoming too, because we serve God. So, I appreciate it. That's good. So.
Yeah, you definitely got to be... You have to, I think we have to always be training for, studying the word. Like, really, if you think about it, like, what separates guys that have been on this ministry from, everyone else? It's that we have a knowledge level of the Bible that far exceeds most every other churchgoer that goes to church every single Sunday. That is the difference, because each and every one of us, I mean, I think anyway, you can tell somebody that knows their Bible and understands it, because when you engage them, you know if they know what they're talking about. And if they're not just, repeating points, talking points that they've heard in the past. You could get involved with somebody and like, yep, this guy's squared away. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about with the Bible, whether you're talking about gardening, whether you're talking about, tree work, ranching. Like, if you've been in these fields for any amount of time, you can tell somebody if they're full of it or not. Like, right. You just know.
Right.
Because they're not saying the things that make it. Now, I'm not saying every little thing is, there's only one solid way. That's what's great about the Bible. The Bible gives us a set of rules to play by. And if we understand those rules, we can operate within them, and God will bless us. He gives us free mind to think about how to do stuff awesome. As long as we don't break those rules. As soon as we break those rules, then it's going to be going the other way. So, you know what I mean? There's not anything like really, like God's law is God's law. But how you act inside of them, as long as you are a moral person and stuff like that, you'll be successful. But if, you know, if you go outside that and start doing stuff on your own and this and that, you're going to go down. You can't just, you have a, it's like tree work. You have a set of rules and you can work within them and like be a successful aerial guy.
Right.
You can tell the good ones from the bad ones, you know, and that's, you know, always be training, always learn your craft, always be getting better, better, better. Because there is always a better way to do stuff. And, you know, the better you get, you when you train other people, you can eliminate a bunch of crap that you had to, like, get rid of and start them from that point so that way they can take that knowledge and build on it and be even better than you. And,
absolutely.
You know, I just think everything's exciting, you know. And, you know, don't hold them back. Like, I'll give you an example. My son, we were tarping down my trailer. And he's like, Dad, why don't we use these chains with the hooks? My dad taught me to tarp down a trailer with bungee straps. And I was buying bungee straps every single week. As soon as my son, which is 13 years old, pointed out the hooks on the chains, which I didn't realize what they were for, I've never bought a bungee strap since. Because he could see it better. So I had to, like, build him up. You know?
Right.
And that's the same way with the Word of God and everything else.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Well, and 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, you know, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And abounding is a, that's one of those words like practice, trying, do we make mistakes? Absolutely. Do we do things sometimes not quite right? Yes, but we're constantly learning. That's what we're supposed to be doing, you know. And I also think that abounding is also that, oh, I don't know, bounding is bouncing, you know. I mean, that sounds like excitement to me, you know, like you're like, okay, let's go, let's do this, you know. Right. So
yeah, it's an action word.
We all need a, yeah.
Yeah, it's an action word. Let's do this. Let's try it. Amen.
Yeah, so there's, yeah.
Well, guys, we're all but out of time. Sure appreciate the time this morning, man, and thank you both for taking time out this morning. I know you got more to do than you probably get done today. That's the times that we live in, but it's exciting times, like was mentioned, it is. And so thank you both. And Remnant, thank you for joining us. And we want to invite you to church in the morning. You can join us. We'll have some new and some review. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. We'll have a review of the news, a new message for you as well, a little bit of everything. And that'll be at scripturesforamerica.org. We invite you to join us starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast, and anywhere else, you just have to figure out the time. But we'll be there, good Lord willing, and we hope that you can join us. If you don't have good internet, we do still have the DVD Church that we record, and then we'll come in here Monday, and we've got new duplicators. I don't think we're having really any problems with it anymore. We had to make an investment and get a couple of new DVD duplicators to take care of some problems we had, but we've got that going, and we'll get them mailed out on Monday. So if you'd like that DVD church, let us know, and we'll get that to you as well. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. proposal stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, they hide.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more.
Stay hide.
Ha!
Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out.
Ride
a
more snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.